From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Boy, oh boy, does it feel good to be back. Yes, folks, I am back from the Dominican Republic, and we are back from the Labor Day holiday weekend, and I'm ready to get at it. It's been a long vacay, and I'm ready to talk some sports, especially some college football, folks. On today's show, I return with the bang because we have not one, not two, but get this, folks, three guests throughout this 60 minutes of today's Current Sports Show. Yeah, crazy, right? On today's show, we will chat with DeJuan Jones, Michigan State sophomore soccer sensation who scored his very first goal at DeMartin Stadium yesterday. We will talk about that. Also, Jay Sarkar of WLNS TV 6 will join us live in studio to talk about his coverage this past weekend at the Michigan and Hawaii college football game. And yes, our dear friend, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler of the Lansing Lugnuts, play-by-play voice of the Luggies, he will join us on the show to talk about tonight's crosstown showdown between the Luggies and the Michigan State baseball team. So a jam-packed hour. If you want to be a part of it, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or you can even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. So much to get to, so little time. Let's stop wasting it. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, folks, tonight marks the rescheduled matchup of the 10th annual Crosstown Showdown, which features an exhibition game between the Lansing Lugnuts and the Michigan State University baseball team. Tonight's matchup also features three cool incentives for fans to come on out. It is a $2 Tuesday, where you can enjoy $2 draft beers and $2 drink specials. Also, get this, folks, a home run derby will take place. Three players from each team will compete in that derby, which will start at 5:30 p.m., and there will be a hat giveaway. The first 2,000 fans will receive a Spartan Green Lugnuts baseball cap, which are pretty fly, I must say. All right, the game will start at 7:05 p.m. tonight. It will feature surprise guest stars from Michigan State University, in addition to premier Major League Baseball prospects. So you don't want to miss that. As I mentioned, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, play-by-play voice for the Lugnuts, will join us live here on the air to elaborate on tonight's exhibition. Sophomore midfielder DeJuan Jones from East Lansing High School was involved in both goals as Michigan State men's soccer team captured its home opener against Columbia 2-1 in a Labor Day battle. The Spartans scored two second-half goals in front of 1,522 fans at DeMartin Stadium to improve to 2-1 on the year. Columbia falls to 1-1 after defeating Michigan in Ann Arbor on Friday. Now, the Spartans are back in action this Friday in a doubleheader with the women's team as well. The women will host Oregon State at 2 p.m., while the men open Big Ten action against Rutgers at 5 p.m. The battle between the Spartan and Scarlet Knights will be televised on the Big Ten Network. And DeJuan Jones will join us later on in the show to talk about that remarkable moment in his Spartan soccer career. Jim Harbaugh had some words for ESPN commentator Ed Cunningham during his weekly press conference yesterday. Harbaugh decided to keep All-American corner Jordan Lewis out of the 63-3 win over Hawaii as Lewis recovered from an injury, saying that Lewis was, quote, getting close to playing. Cunningham, though, speculated that Lewis was out due to, quote, discipline. This is what Harbaugh had to say yesterday. Quote, it had nothing to do with any off-field suspension I heard about. Ed Cunningham got way out over his skis, speculating it was some kind of suspension. He went on to say, Jordan Lewis is one of the finest guys we have on the team. football character, off-the-field character, just total character. There's few, if any, better than Jordan Lewis. Just wanted to clarify that for the record, end quote. Justin Verlander and Chris Sale pitched well enough to win on a perfect day, Labor Day to be exact, a Labor Day afternoon on Monday at U.S. Cellular Field. But they both settled for quality starts and no decisions in the Tigers' 5-3 victory over the White Sox in 11 innings. Justin Upton delivered the game-winning shot, his second in as many days, taking Chris Beck deep to right on a 1-2 pitch for his 21st homer. The Tigers keep pace with the Baltimore Orioles, who defeated the Tampa Bay Rays in a tie for the American League's second wild card spot. They sit one game behind the Boston Red Sox, the AL's top wild card team. JV, Justin Verlander, allowed 2 runs on 8 hits over 7 innings, striking out 11 and walking 1 among his 116 pitches. Matt Boyd will make his second straight start against the White Sox tonight at 8:10 p.m. after allowing 2 runs in 4 innings in a no decision against Chicago on August 29th at Comerica Park. Eric Ebron returned to practice yesterday for the first time since he injured his ankle in an intra-squad scrimmage for the Detroit Lions August 6th at Ford Field, lending hope that the Lions will have their number one tight end on the field for their season opener this Sunday. Can you believe that, folks? Against the Indianapolis Colts, Ebron ran routes publicly before last Thursday's preseason finale for the first time since his injury and said last week that he hoped to play this weekend. Colin Kaepernick has reached out to the one NFL player outside of his own team that joined his protest against racial oppression by refusing to stand for the national anthem, that being Seattle Seahawks corner Jeremy Lane. He told reporters Monday, actually Lane did, that he would continue to sit for the anthem, saying, quote, "I'm just going to continue doing what I'm doing," end quote. Lane, as he was following the Seahawks game against the Oakland Raiders on Thursday night, wasn't big on elaboration, but just said the cat reached out saying, quote, "and just told me thank you for standing behind him," end quote. Former Cleveland Browns quarterback, yeah, you know his name, Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, has re-enrolled at Texas A&M after his NFL career was derailed by a series of off-the-field incidents that included a domestic violence charge, which is still pending in court. A school spokesman confirmed Manziel's enrollment on Monday, saying he couldn't provide other details because of student privacy laws. Manziel played 2 years for the Aggies and was the first freshie to win the Heisman Trophy back in 2012. And last but not least, San Francisco 49er Bruce Miller has been released from the team following an arrest for assault. San Fran police confirmed to KTVU that the 29-year-old fullback was arrested in San Francisco on Monday morning. Miller allegedly tried to check into Fisherman's Wharf Marriott Hotel on Sunday night, but was told the hotel was full. Sources say he returned Monday morning, knocked on one of the guest room doors. The room was occupied by an elderly couple who did not know Miller. The neighboring guest, the couple's 29-year-old son, told Miller that he had the wrong room. That's when Miller allegedly began attacking him. The man's father came to his son's aid and was also attacked by Miller. Sources say the 70-year-old man, yes, 70 years old, was punched in the face and suffered broken bones. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Without further ado, let's start the show.
Afternoon in the home room, they're about to let you go. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting season of Michigan State Spartan football. Here's a reverse right to left to R.J. Shelton, dancing down the left sideline. He's at midfield, and he's into Furman territory at the 44-yard line.
Wide open in the back of the end zone on the pass is Darvo Wilton. Spate does not miss him. Throws the slant. It's intercepted. He's into the end zone. Michigan gets a defensive score.
Hand off to L.J. He'll walk in running to his left. Touchdown, MSU. The first of the 2016 season.
Back to throw the quarterback, and it's intercepted. This could be another pick six. Stribbling at the 15, the 10, the 5. Touchdown, Michigan.
O'Connor in the shotgun, Scott to his left. The snap, throws right side into the end zone. Over the shoulder grab made by Felton Davis. In the end zone, touchdown, MSU.
Sweep left, does he get the corner? He does, into the end zone. 5-yard touchdown, Kieran Hickman. And Michigan, on opening day, 2016, rolls to a 63-3 victory.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, as this marks the first day of school here in Mid-Michigan. How cool is that? So I had to open up the show with, of course, some Hall & Oates, one of the best rock groups of all time, one of my favorite groups, period, of all time, with some adult education. Gotta love that joint. One of my favorite joints, folks. So I wish you all out there. Hey, if you're listening to me, I hope that you don't have class right now, all right? You better not be in class listening to Current Sports. But if you are, hey, thank you. it's so crazy, though, because here on campus, you know, I've gotten so used to throughout the summer just getting my regular parking spot, it not being so crowded on campus, but there are students everywhere here on the campus of Michigan State University. So happy, happy, happy first day of school. And we love to have fun here on the show. So I want to open up our phone lines again. You know the number to call. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And I want to know, what is your favorite first day of school memory? Do you have one? It's hard to go back for some of us, you know, to think back in time to the first day of school. But mine had to be just, you know, the shopping that took place before the first day of school. My mom would take my sister and I out to whatever mall happened to be close, usually Fairlane Mall on the west side of the D, which is actually in Dearborn. And we would go there and pick out a few duds for the first few weeks of the school year. And then we just kind of rotate, you know, this shirt with different pants, you know what I mean? And I always was big on making sure I had the flyest kicks on the first day of school, all right? So I remember I got the brand new, the very first, I don't even know how many of shoes that he had throughout his NBA career, but I got the very first Grant Hill shoes when I was, I don't even know how old I was. I had to be like five, six years old, something like that. And I remember those shoes very vividly when I came in. That's how I made friends on the first day of school. I happened to be like in first and second grade, or second grade, I should say. And people were coming up saying, oh man, those are fly kicks, man. And bam, I had two friends just like that. All right. So that's my favorite, you know, first day of school memory. And that's probably as far back as I can think when it comes to the first day of school. But I want to know what yours is. 517-355-9527. And ladies and gents, man, oh man, it feels good to be back. I must say, if you've been tuning in to Current Sports throughout the past week or two, you know that I have been out of town. I was on groomsman duties for my fraternity brother, Jatide, as he held his wedding. It was a destination wedding. He held his wedding at the Dominican Republic. How about that? Out of the country. I haven't been out of the country since I was about 9 years old. And it was so cool being out of the country and, you know, experiencing the DR. First time ever being there. And it was really cool, I must say, folks. And we stayed at a resort. But, you know, what always fascinates me is not the life on the resort that you visit, if you even stay at a resort when you go out of the country, but just how the people live on the outskirts of wherever you are. And we actually got the opportunity to, favorite memory from the trip briefly here before we get into some college football talk, we actually got the opportunity to go in the city and ride ATVs. You know, ATVs are basically four, you know, they're on four wheels and they go really, really fast. They're meant for, you know, away from your normal road terrain, so you can take them in, you know, in the mud, you can take them on the grass, and they're just really, really fun. But we took these ATVs, we rented these ATVs for a few hours and actually headed into the actual city of Puerto Plata in the Dominican Republic. And I tell you, when you go on a trip like that, you really, especially when you get to experience how the people live there in comparison to our world here in the United States of America, it really makes you appreciate life in general, folks. I mean, we rode through Puerto Plata and we got to see people living in shacks and, you know, barely having running water. I mean, even the water that we had on the resort, we couldn't brush our teeth with it. They would come and they would give us bottled water to brush our teeth with because the water was not 100% safe. And, you know, you saw these kids, you know, walking around with barely any food to eat and barely any clothes on their backs. And it's just amazing. My frat brother, he actually, because, you know, the ATV excursion took us through this one area where it was kind of off the beach. And we got off the ATVs, and, you know, it was a moment for us to kind of just take pictures and unwind a bit before going on our next location. And my frat brother had a bottle of water. And there were two kids that happened to be in that same area, and they saw my frat brother guzzling down this you know, ice-cold bottle of water. And all of a sudden, they immediately come up to him. They run up to him and say, "Hey, no, can we just have a sip? Can we just have a sip?" That puts things in perspective, right? And, of course, my frat brother, Ade, you know, he immediately says, "Oh, take the whole thing." And they just, you know, immediately start to smile and immediate joy on their faces just for having a sip of bottled water. So I encourage anybody out there, if you're not a big traveler, just to go out the country and experience it just one time, because you will have an altered look on the life that you currently have. We complain about the little things a lot throughout this game called life. But when you go on an excursion like that and get to see how other folks live who are less fortunate than you, it puts things in perspective, all right? So now to the least important things in life, the sporting world. Which is what we do here on Current Sports. Again, phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And I want to start with Michigan State football, specifically what took place here on the campus of Michigan State University at Spartan Stadium early this morning. Well, not too early, around 11:30 a.m. In the press conference area, the Tom and Lupe Izzo Media Center, in which Mark D'Antonio addressed us media members, recapping what took place on Friday night in Michigan State's win over Furman. I want to start with a few bites from Coach D, starting with what Coach D'Antonio was most pleased about as the dust settled on that game, and he's had a few days now to marinate on what happened.
I think that most pleased with how we ran the ball and continued to recollect ourselves on both sides of the ball when things didn't go quite well. You know, we just sort of maintain a workmanlike approach to it. I thought our sideline needed to be a little bit more emotional than maybe it was. But we had a workmanlike type attitude. And when things happen negatively, a first down or keeping a drive alive or, you know, or a holding penalty down on the yard line, you know, we recollected ourselves and we made a play. So that was a positive. And I also thought that, you know, Tyler played well, especially probably three-quarters of the game, which coming out as the quarterback, they did some good things. Thing that I'm relatively disappointed with are the penalties, shocked on the penalties, but again, some of them are unforced. I mean, really none of them are unforced because we didn't have offsides, we didn't have procedure penalties. They're down-the-field penalties that we're playing football and they get called. So I guess, but there is a discipline to that as well, to play within that discipline. So I guess it would be that and the ball's on the ground too much. We only lost, you know, we threw one pick and lost a fumble to a redshirt freshman. But the ball's on the ground. There's too many things that could happen with that. And, you know, I would think that, guess that probably most of the time we win the turnover margin battle, and we didn't this game. And the penalties in that is, again, that's why the game was a little closer than maybe that it would have seemed.
28-13, the final of that Friday night opener for Michigan State. 28-13 win for the Spartans, but in the eyes of many, a performance that did not reach up to expectations against a team like Furman, the Paladins. So, you know, while I was watching that game, these are a few takeaways that I had from it. Of course, you had Tyler O'Connor stepping into a position in which he's trying to replace the most decorated quarterback in Michigan State football history in Connor Cook. So there were a lot of eyes on him as to how he would perform and how his overall comfortability as well as poise were throughout that game. Now, I must say, Connor Cook, again, big shoes to fill. And Tyler O'Connor stepping into that role looked competent, but in my opinion, a bit uninspiring. He was 13 of 18, made a few mistakes while really depending on the ground game to move the offense. And it wasn't surprising as that game began, you saw Michigan State trying to establish the run game, because when you have Tyler coming into a position like that as the starter, a new starting role for him, you want to make him comfortable and you have to ease him into that spot. Now, his first half touchdown pass to Felton Davis was about as nice as it could have been. Really nice touch on the ball there. However, there were still some rough spots. He got picked off in the third quarter after missing Josiah Price on a comeback route. And the Spartans really struggled to convert on third down in the first half. Overall, though, I thought O'Connor took care of the ball and he ran the offense effectively enough, just enough, to win the ball game. But 28-13 against Furman, that's got to be better. Got to be better. And, you know, when it comes to the run game, again, you know, I talked about how you want to make sure that anytime you have a situation like the Spartans currently have, Tyler O'Connor moving into a role like this, you have to establish the run game. And to be honest with you, that's the type of game, that round and pound game is what Mark D'Antonio and his program usually thrives off of historically anyway. Now, if you look at what happened, the Spartans averaged 4.3 yards per carry, opened the game on a 32-yard end around to R.J. Shelton. That's actually the longest play from scrimmage they had the entire game. And Michigan State returns three running backs from last season who finished with 500 or more yards and over 100 carries. L.J. Scott is far and away the Spartans' number one back right now. He was very impressive. Very impressive. He carried the ball 20 times to Madre London's 5, and also Gerald Holmes never had the football, all right? Scott rushed for 105 yards and a touchdown. Looked great doing it, folks. You know, he's got a great first step. He's very patient. He's going to be great this year. I'm really looking forward to great things from L.J. Scott. Granted, Scott can stay healthy. The defensive line. Now, folks, we all know that Malik McDowell is a bona fide star. We all know that, hey, if he keeps up what he did on Friday night and what he's projected to do, if he keeps that up throughout the entire year, he is going to be a first-round NFL draft pick after this year. But looking at how the Paladins were able to run the ball pretty effectively between the tackles, the Spartans giving up about 4 yards per carry to Furman's running backs and only making three tackles for a loss during the game. That's got to be better. It's got to be better. Malik McDowell is going to be your guy. But at the same time, it has to be a collective effort there, and I just saw a few holes that have to be plugged as the year goes on for them. And the fact that Furman hung around, now we can go a few ways with this, all right? Because I always say, I feel like I'm echoing this sentiment after week one of every single college football year. Again, 28-13 against Furman is not impressive at the end of the day, but it is a win. And how much can you really take away from that game? In my opinion, not that much, folks, because teams, as the weeks move on here, Michigan State will get better. To try and make these hard, concrete assessments from what we saw from the Spartans on Friday, it just doesn't reign true as the year goes on. And it's an odd season. Mark D'Antonio mentioned at his presser this morning that, again, they're the only school to have a bye after week one of the college football year. So, very weird stuff. Injuries are certainly going to play a factor here because you don't get that week of rest mid-year. But at the same time, I'm not going to sit up here and say Michigan State, you know, with a lackluster performance against Furman is going to have a sorry year. No, I'm not going to do that. It's week one. It's week one, folks. So let's not jump off the cliff here yet, all right? Really briefly here, I want to invite Isaac Constance, our current sports engineer who held down the fort while I was out in the DR. Isaac, first off, my man, how are you doing? And thanks so much, brother. You did a great job.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I enjoyed it. And, you know, apologies if anybody hears my teeth chattering right now because, I mean, I'm cold. I've got a fever for the first time since, like, sophomore year of high school or something like that. It's
really?
It's weird. Yeah,
so you're sick right now.
Oh, yeah. It's been going for a while, too, as you know.
I do know, and I was battling my little cold last week, and I'm just now getting over it, dude. But, hey, you were actually at that game, Michigan State against Furman. I mean, what were a few takeaways you had, Isaac?
Yeah, I thought LJ Scott was one of the predominant ones, and that LJ just ran over people. But at the same time, he slimmed down, too. So he's a good mix right now between bulk and speed and agility. It's really a nice combination for this team. It looked to me like Madre London also had that speed and agility, but he might have bulked down a little bit too much. Madre could not break through that many tackles. And Jay Sarkar and I were just saying behind the glass, we were saying we think he's the odd man out for this upcoming season.
Right. Without a doubt, my man. And, you know, as Michigan State moves forward now, I mean, you saw that crazy Notre Dame game this past weekend, right? And we'll get to an overall look of the college football world in just a second because I thought that was a fantastic opening weekend for the college football world. But now Michigan State has 2 weeks to prep for Notre Dame, and it's going to be very interesting to see what type of adjustments they do make. A few areas of food for thought here before we get to a brief chat with Jesse Goldberg, Strassler, play-by-play voice for the Lansing Lugnuts. 18 consecutive home openers now won by Michigan State, dating back to a 1999 home opening win against Oregon. Get this, 62 games since Michigan State incurred 120 penalty yards in a game before they did so on Friday night. That's a crazy stat, right? 35, that's the average margin of victory in Michigan State's five previous games against FCS opponents. 17 career touchdown catches by Josiah Price after he added one more to his total on Friday night, and 12 wins for the Big Ten on the opening weekend of the college football seasons. Right now, let's get to our first guest of three here on this afternoon's Current Sports. I mentioned in our Current Sports quick hit headliners that tonight marks the rescheduled matchup of the 10th annual Crosstown Showdown, which features an exhibition game between the Lansing Lugnuts and the Michigan State baseball team. Right now on line one, we have the play-by-play voice of the Luggies, our dear friend, Mr. Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, calling in. Jesse, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Now, Jesse, first off, tell us why Mid-Michigan should come out to tonight's Crosstown Showdown.
Well, the first thing is, it's a celebration of baseball between Lansing and East Lansing. You get the Spartans together with the Lansing Lugnuts. That's great. The weather is perfect. Plus, gates open at 5 o'clock, and the first 2,000 fans will get a Spartan Green Lugnut cap that Al, I know you've seen.
I've been rocking it, man. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 5:30, Home Run Derby. 3 Lansing Lugnuts, 3 Michigan State Spartans. The Spartans have the Home Run Derby champion from the Summers Northwoods League. We'll get to see Marty Bedkin in action. The Lansing Lugnuts, meanwhile, have Bo Bichette, who's an 18-year-old mega prospect drafted in the second round, Dante's kid. They've got Vladimir Guerrero Jr., senior's son. He's 17. He's awesome. Plus, they've got Connor Panis, who led the entire Midwest League in terms of least at-bats for hitting a home run ratio. So that's going to be awesome. And we've got $2 Tuesday, so $2 fountain drinks, $2 beers before the Lugnuts and the Spartans get together. That's a lot of reasons.
Now, Jesse, you mentioned that home run derby. Now, I was trying to do some research to see if this was the first time you all have done this. Is this the first year you guys have done a home run derby leading up
to
that game?
Very first year.
Wow.
Exactly.
How did you guys push that idea through?
Well, the idea was, what do people enjoy when they come out to see baseball games with us? They would love to have a giveaway. They'd love to have low-cost drinks. And they want to see home runs. So why not give them all of them?
Those are great reasons, right, Jesse? Now, what's the turnout been in recent years, and do you guys have a goal or a mark you hope to hit?
What we really want to do is make sure that folks have a good time. It's one of those things where I've seen anywhere from 6,000 fans pack in on a very cold night. And then I've seen a near 13,000 fans a couple of years back, the largest crowd in the stadium's history. I think the big thing is saying the Lugnuts regular season is done. This is the last year for the 2016 Lugnuts to play here at Cooley Law School Stadium. Let's send them off with a bang.
So true. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, Mr. Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Now, Jesse, what do both of these teams get out of an exhibition season, well, exhibition game, I should say, like this? Because the season is done for the Lansing Lugnuts, unfortunately. No playoff appearance, and of course, the Michigan State baseball team has a long time before they open their respective season, I should say. So what do both of these teams get out of this?
The crowd. Michigan State won't play in front of a crowd like this all year. The Lansing Lugnuts rarely play in front of a crowd like this, maybe the 4th of July, etc. But also, the Toronto Blue Jays love to use this game to send us future Lugnuts. And so because of that, from Guerrero to Bichette to seven other new players that the Toronto Blue Jays have flown in and said, you are going to be Lugnuts in 2017. Here's a preview of what's to come. So it's a treat for the players to play in front of an atmosphere like they have never experienced before.
What has been your assessment of how this year panned out for the Luggies, Jesse?
I know that the Lugnuts didn't make the playoffs. I know that in the end they go 69-71. Al, just writing down, brainstorming a list of names on paper, I can think of 10, 12, 14 or more future major leaguers on this Lugnuts team. I think that you'd be hard-pressed to find a single-A team, or maybe even a double-A team in the whole country that had the kind of talent that we saw come through Lansing. We saw major leaguers, and I mean a lot of them this year. I was speaking with a guy named Vince Lara, who writes for Baseball America, who's coming up with his list of the top 20 prospects in the Midwest League. And he turned to me and he said, I think that I'm going to have to go with the entire Lugnuts pitching staff. Everyone was a prospect. That's what I'm going to remember the most.
And that's why I always say, Jesse, when it comes to minor league seasons, especially the one that the Lugnuts had this year, you have to take it with a grain of salt because, again, a lot of those big prospects got moved up and you don't have that same talent that you had at the beginning of the year at the end of it. Am I right?
You are right on the money. Oh, our players, maybe the team didn't have the best year wins and losses, but it was so much fun to watch. And we saw true quality talent come through.
Jesse, one more time, my man, before we get you out of here, how can people attend tonight's Crosstown Showdown?
Well, come right on down. We're located on Michigan Avenue in between Cedar Street and Large Street, a couple of blocks away from the Capitol. You can call 517-485-4500 or just go to LansingLugnuts.com. Gates open up at 5 o'clock earlier than usual because we've got the 5:30 Home Run Derby.
And, Jesse, you will be the MC for the Home Run Derby. Any puns up your sleeve for tonight?
No. You know what? You can give me whatever you'd like. My thought is I'm going to say it's gone. I'm going to say that's three homers. And otherwise, I'm just going to celebrate like everybody else.
Hey, sometimes keeping it simple is the best option, right?
Exactly.
Jesse, one of the best in the biz, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Jesse, I'll see you tonight, all right?
Al, my pleasure. Looking forward to it.
You got it. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Jay Sarkar, weekend sports anchor and reporter at WLNS-TV6. Don't go anywhere. So much more to come. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Yo, yo, yo! Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Tuesday. Feels like a Monday, though, because we are coming off of Labor Day yesterday, which was a pretty chill one for me. Just kind of max tax and relax with the fam. I hope you guys had a great one with your respective family and friends. And I'm putting it out there because this is the first day of school for Mid-Michigan. And I want to know, what's your favorite first day of school memory, if you have one, okay? I shared the one about my Grand Hill kicks back when I was like in first grade. Isaac, do you have one?
No, definitely not. I've got some great last day of school type memories.
Oh,
like graduation, all of those.
Yeah.
But actually, first day, no, it's more just back to the grind. I did enjoy shopping with my mom at Target. We'd always get some popcorn on the side from the Target little mini market. So I enjoyed that. I'm with you there. But at the same time, no, I don't like the first day at school whatsoever.
Dude, that's so funny you bring it up because I was at Target yesterday. I wanted some bananas. I love bananas, as you know. And I'm walking through Target and everybody has like their list. And you see kids going out and getting colored pencils and crayons and everything. It's pretty random. You just brought that up just now. All right, again, share a first day of school memory. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And right now, we now go to guest number two, who is live in studio with us right now. His name is Jay Sarkar, weekend sports anchor and reporter at WLNS-TV6. Jay, welcome to the show. And do you have a first day of school memory?
Well, Al, let's think. First day of school memories, there was my sophomore year in high school where I wore the very whack outfit of a black Yankees fitted and a Braylon Edwards Cleveland Browns jersey.
So you mixed and matched teams.
Yeah, that was 10 years ago, so it was a while.
Right.
But I think my favorite first day of school memory, probably my senior year of college, just knowing it was kind of all coming to an end.
Exactly, and it's funny because we have a few seniors that will be working with us on Current Sports in a few days, and it's always a surreal moment, like, man, this is it. I got to go big or go home, right?
Exactly.
All right, Jay, well, I want to talk about the Michigan and Hawaii game that took place on Saturday afternoon at Michigan Stadium out in Ann Arbor, a 63-3 win for the Wolverines. You were in the house for that game. And we were kind of joking before Mark D'Antonio held his press conference this morning at Spartan Stadium that I was so jealous of you seeing your footage from that, because what was so interesting is that my favorite athlete of all time, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, was in the house as, I believe, an honorary captain along with Derek Jeter as well. But again, who cares about everybody else? It's Michael Jordan. I mean, how was that seeing Michael Jordan in person?
Al, if I really wanted to reach out, I could have touched Michael Jordan. I think I would have been removed by security, but he walked right by me. I could have reached out to try to rub off some greatness from him. But no, it was cool. Fans were excited. He was there. Jeter was there. Former Michigan great Lamar Woodley. Heisman Trophy winner Charles Woodson, of course. Just really, they rolled out the red carpet to launch this whole Jordan by Michigan partnership with the new uniforms. But, I mean, the performance was certainly something befitting of having the GOAT in the house, I would say.
Without a doubt. And let's talk about the X's and O's of the game right now. Wilton Spate making his first start for Jim Harbaugh's team. It was pretty cool to see the image of Jim Harbaugh sort of pumping Wilton up before he got out there. And then what happens? He goes right out there on the first snap and throws an INT. But he recovered very nicely. He finished 10 of 13. For 145 yards, 3 touchdowns. Again, that one INT. Wilton Spate, what made him, or what makes him, I should say, the right man for the job?
Wilton Spate did a really good job with his reads. He noticed that if his first option was taken, he was good at scanning the field, because really, 10 for 13, only 2 of those balls were either dropped or truly incompleted, one of them going to a Hawaii defender. Mm-hmm. But no, Spate looked good, and I think what really aids him is, as a young quarterback, he's got the weapons. He's got Darbo, Chesson, Perry, and Jake Butt. Perry, Butt, and Darbo all caught touchdowns in that game.
Right.
So as he moves forward, but Khalid Hill made a great point at the end of the game. Michigan didn't face too many challenges. Wilton Spate threw an interception to start, sure. But as the season progresses, it's going to be interesting to see how he fares when facing a lot more adversity than the Rainbow Warrior defense.
Exactly. And you heard my comments when it comes to week one of the college football year. It's very hard to draw these hard, concrete conclusions, right?
I was going to say, I mean, someone could tell you that Wisconsin's going to be in a New Year's Six Bowl because they beat an LSU team with no offense.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You got to let it pan out, my man. Now, Hawaii, 1 of 11 on third downs. They had 10 tackles for loss, 4 sacks. When you see that Michigan defense up close and personal, what really stood out to you on Saturday?
Tenacity. I mean, I was at the Michigan-Northwestern game last year, which was a 38-0 shutout, and I thought DJ Durkin's unit was playing incredibly well. This defense was better than that defense last year was at any point. Now, granted, Hawaii, not the greatest opposition, but you've got Mike McCray, a linebacker who did not see game action last year, earning Big Ten Player of the Week honors. Him and Ben Gideon up the middle, they were playing inside linebacker in a manner I haven't seen at Michigan since the days of Prescott Burgess, Sean Crable, that great 2006 defense from the team that went to the Rose Bowl that year.
Now, Jay, as we know, there's a ton of hype surrounded around this team. A lot of attention, a lot of spotlight centered on Jim Harbaugh's squad. even before the first snap occurred against Hawaii on Saturday. Are you buying the hype right now? And do you believe that this team will be 7-0 when they meet up against Michigan State at Spartan Stadium on October 29th?
I am buying a ticket for Coach on the hype train. I'm not going to be in first class.
I like that.
I don't think that would be smart. But I do believe that the next two opponents they play, both UCF and Colorado, should be good wins. Penn State, Big Ten opener, maybe a little bit of nerves, but Penn State also doesn't look too great. Wisconsin could be a real challenge, but it's in Ann Arbor. So really, I see no reason Michigan is not 7-0 going into that Michigan State game. Mm-hmm. But, as anyone will tell you, Michigan State has won 7 of 8 games in East Lansing. I cannot predict a win for Michigan, especially after our last year ended, until Michigan is leading with zeros on the clock at the end of the fourth.
So true. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Jay Sarkar, weekend sports anchor and reporter at WLNS-TV6. Jay, what holes in the boat, if any, did you see on Saturday against Michigan? I know it's hard to do with going against a Hawaii team that you beat 63-3. Where can this team improve, though?
Well, I would say that Spate, despite his minimal amount of incompletions, I'm going to be curious to see how he does with pressure from the defense. I mean, his O-line played very well, but when you start going up against the better teams in the Big Ten, against a defense like Michigan State, a defense like Ohio State at the end of the year, how is that young offensive line going to hold up against that? Because Michigan last year in that blowout against Ohio State, the loss at home, they got absolutely bullied in the trenches. So that's going to have to hold up, and I'm sure Tim Drevno and his staff are going to work on that. But also, this team is going to live and die by Spate, and if he is the starting running back going forward, freshman Chris Evans, how can he fare under the spotlight? I mean, he broke off 2 huge runs, but this is just an 18-year-old kid who is a 3-star prospect. He's been impressing in camp, but can he be consistently this good over the course of the year?
That's a very good point right there as well. All right, before we get you out of here, Jay, I want to play a snippet from the Mark D'Antonio press conference that we both were at this morning at 11:30. And Michigan State in an odd position here because they have such an early bye week, week 2, and then they have to go on the road, really thrown into the fire early this year, and have to go on the road and beat a Notre Dame team that fell just short against the Texas Longhorns this past weekend. So here is Coach D'Antonio on the preparation against Notre Dame.
Well, you hope that carries over. The nature of it is probably they go into something different. But I think the biggest thing you can watch is tempo, especially when you watch the game on TV. You can figure out the tempo that they're using. You also watch personnel just in terms of ability. And you get a feel for things schematically. You know, this will be, you know, we've played Notre Dame numerous times since we've been here. So really since Coach Kelly has gone there since 10. I think it was 10, maybe when his first. You know, those are things that we have to adjust as we move forward. But I think it gives us a head start. How does that play into the game itself? The game gets played on the field, so it's about diagnosing things, recognizing things, and making plays relative to the game. That's how you win on the field.
Now, I mentioned, Jay, my big takeaway from that Michigan State game against Furman on Friday night was that Michigan State had 120 yards on penalties. I mean, that hasn't happened in 62 games here in East Lansing. That's crazy, right? Now, looking at how that game happens on the road after a week 2 bye, I mean, what are your thoughts on Michigan State heading into that game and their chances to beat the Fighting Irish?
I think the bye benefits Michigan State. Right now, at least going into the Notre Dame game, it will. Later in the Big Ten season, might come back to bite him a little bit. But for now, it can only help. And if we look back, he mentioned since Brian Kelly got there. Mm-hmm. 2010, Aaron Bates' little Giants play to end the game. 2013, 4-point loss that Michigan State was in until the very end. The kids who were freshmen on that 13 team, they recognized that Notre Dame that year took away what may have been this program's greatest chance at playing in a national championship game within the last 5 to 6, within the Mark D'Antonio era.
Right.
So I think that Tyler O'Connor, one of the backups on that team, is going to channel one of his better performances, and I say Michigan State can pull it out, but it's going to take them and the defensive back's abilities to shut down Torrey Hunter Jr. and Equiminius St. Brown. Because if St. Brown gets matched up, let's say, on Darian Hicks and beats him on coverage, he's a home run throw on every play.
And Hicks was certainly targeted on Friday night, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jay. Well, we got to get you out of here, my man, but how can people watch your work?
Well, of course, they can always turn on their TVs. During the fall, it's a little tricky with SEC football, but right. I'm always on weekend nights at 11 o'clock, Saturday and Sunday, on WLNS-TV. Follow me on Twitter at WLNSJSarkar, and of course, visit the website WLNS.com for all your sports needs.
Jay, you're doing a fantastic job. Keep it up, all right?
Thank you, Al. Appreciate it.
Jay Sarkar, the one and only weekend sports anchor and reporter at WLNS-TV6. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will chat with DeJuan Jones, Michigan State sophomore forward for the soccer team, and he had a great day yesterday. We'll talk about that and so much more. Don't go anywhere. Be right back.
WKAR's Current State brings you the people making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
We have 13,000 children in this state that need to be adopted, and no one has any problem adopting. No one has any problem adopting.
And you just made it harder.
From politics to the arts, live music to sports, it's all got a home.
I just kind of sat down and looked at everything that I accomplished, and I was world champion and Olympian, and it was time, and I was ready to move on.
Current State, daily on WKAR.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Tuesday, September 6th. We've just finished up a chat with Jay Sarkar, weekend sports anchor and reporter at WLNS-TV6. Prior to that, we had Jesse Goldberg-Strassler on the show, play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, to talk about tonight's 10th annual Crosstown Showdown. And now we invite guest number three. That's right. His name is DeJuan Jones, sophomore midfielder from East Lansing High School, who was involved in both goals as the Michigan State men's soccer team captured its home opener against Columbia 2-1 in a Labor Day battle. And get this, folks, it was DeJuan's first goal at DeMartin. Can you believe that? So we have Jones on the line right now to talk about that moment and so much more. DeJuan Jones, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing, DeJuan?
I'm doing good, Al. How are you?
I am fantastic, brother. Good to have you back on the show. And I first got to start with this, DeJuan. What was that moment like for you yesterday afternoon at DeMartin, scoring your very first goal here at home?
It was an incredible feeling. We had a great crowd yesterday. I think over 1,500 fans. So just to hear the roar from the crowd after the goal was just pretty amazing.
Can you take me through how it happened? Because you were involved with both goals that were scored in that win. Can you take us through how that game started and how it ended?
We had a pretty good first half. We battled tough, but get the ball in the back of the net. And in the second half, Columbia actually scored first. So we had to fight back. On the first goal, I just got the ball going. I turned, and I started going at the defenders. And Ken Kerlicky made a great run. So when I got to the box, I just laid it off for him for a nice, easy finish to tie the game up. And on the second goal, we stole the ball and had a quick counterattack. So Giuseppe Baroni found a really good pass to me to slip it. And when I got the ball, I just wanted to get as close as I could to the goal and put the ball in the back of the net. And I'm blessed to say it went in. And I'm happy we got the victory.
Certainly. Now, DeJuan, is it surprising at all to yourself that it's taken this long for you to have your first goal at DeMartin?
Yeah, my first goal last year as a freshman, but better late than never.
Right. That's a good answer, my friend, all right? And what was your reaction from the fam? Because I know your family is so supportive of you. I remember when we had you on Current Sports TV, and your family came out, and it was so great to talk to them. And, you know, I actually went to – a lot of people don't know this. I went to school with DeJuan's sister here at Michigan State University. But they are so supportive of you, and they're always rooting for you game in and game out. What was the reaction from the fam yesterday?
Oh, they were just very proud of me. They know how much I've wanted to score a goal at the home stadium. So they were very supportive and happy for me.
DeJuan, in what ways have you improved from your freshman season to now?
So last spring, I got injured, so I was able to actually just sit back and watch. So I learned a lot from watching, and just listening to the coaches and the input they were giving to my teammates. So now I'm able to utilize those skills that I learned in the spring, and I can finally apply it now that I'm back healthy from injury.
What's been the biggest adjustment for you when you evaluate your really heralded high school career in which you were named Mr. Soccer for the state, you know, during your senior season? I mean, what's been the biggest adjustment for you making that jump from high school to collegiate soccer?
The biggest adjustment for me was definitely just the speed of play. Like, a lot of the guys that I'm playing against, a lot of my teammates played in the academy level, and the academy level was a little bit faster than high school soccer, so the adjustment with the pace of the ball, the pace of the players, everyone's just a lot faster. So just thinking quicker and making better decisions on the ball.
Now, I want to read a quote from Damon Rensing after yesterday's match against Columbia, yesterday's win against Columbia. He went on to say this, DeJuan. Quote, DeJuan certainly changes the energy of the game when he goes in. He has an electric type of personality on the field. To have him either start or come off the bench is great, end quote. Now, what are you most comfortable with, DeJuan? Do you like starting or do you like coming off the bench and providing that energy there?
I'm comfortable with either. I mean, coming off the bench is really nice just because some of the guys on the other team are tired, so I just come in ready to go 100%. But also starting just to bring that energy at the start of the game. So I'm comfortable with either one. But wherever the coach finds me the best fit is where I'll be happy to play.
Now, Big Ten play starts for you all on Friday against Rutgers. How prepared do you all feel leading up to that game?
We're very confident. This is a big win for us, especially at home. And now we have another chance to prove that we can defend tomorrow and again. So we're really looking forward to it. We're going to get after it this week at practice, and it should be a good game on Friday.
Now, leading up to this game, DeJuan, again, you guys have beaten Syracuse. That went to overtime. Lost to Butler. Won at CMU, and then lost to Oral Roberts, and then, of course, you're just coming off a dub against Columbia yesterday. What have you learned about this team? What have you all learned about yourselves throughout this stretch of soccer?
Just to never give up. I think it was the game against Butler. We were down 3-0, and we battled back and ended up losing only 3-2. So just that we're fighters, and we're never going to give up on each other. And it's just really inspiring, the comeback win we had yesterday. So we're just really looking forward to building that momentum and just winning games.
All right. Well, there you have it. DeJuan Jones, Michigan State sophomore for the Michigan State men's soccer team. DeJuan, keep it up, and we hope to see many more goals at DeMartin as the year rolls along, all right?
All right. Thank you.
You got it. Isaac, you were at that game yesterday, right? And I'm pretty sure, did you get a chance to chat with DeJuan after that one?
Yeah, I did. And DeJuan was really happy with his performance. He couldn't say enough. One part about it was Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
All of his friends, all of his family were able to come on out. And that was maybe the most special moment for him.
Without a doubt. And again, I've covered the kid since he was, when he balled out at East Lansing High School and Nick Archer was the head coach. And actually, not only DeJuan came, but again, DeJuan's family and the entire East Lansing soccer team, they were also at that taping. And it was just so cool. And it is so cool to see DeJuan's game maturing year after year. And good to see him back on the field, though, as he mentioned that injury that he had last season. All right, folks. Well, time flies when you have three guests, all right? And I want to give a big shout-out to, of course, Jay Sarkar, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, and, of course, Mr. DeJuan Jones. But we only have 5 minutes left, and we're going to treat this like Monday's show, all right? There's a ton that happened throughout the Labor Day weekend in the sporting world, so we are going to hit you with, instead of Tickle Tuesday, weekend winners. Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
All right, it is time for weekend winners. So who exactly had the best weekend throughout the Labor Day holiday? I want to start with a weekend winner that this is a story that just came through right before we actually took the airwaves. But the Iowa Hawkeyes have given longtime coach Kirk Ferentz a 6-year contract extension and raise through the 2025 year. The school just made that announcement, folks. Ferentz will make $4.5 million per season under the new extension, which the school said runs through January 31st of 2026. He had been paid a little more than $4 million annually under his old agreement. So Kirk Ferentz getting that contract extension. He's one of the best coaches in college football and, clearly one of the best coaches in the Big Ten. And the Iowa Hawkeyes are projected to play in a Big Ten championship game yet again last year. We all know about that crazy game last year against the Michigan State Spartans. So, weekend winner, clearly Kirk Ferentz with that new deal. How about, though, the Detroit Tigers, who have been playing some great baseball as of late, and right now they are in the playoffs. They are holding down a wild card spot, and it's been just remarkable to watch this year pan out for the Tigers. And I may be, I don't want to, go too high with this, but I really think that the Tigers have a legit shot at possibly holding down a wild card spot, Isaac, and possibly advancing if they do get that dub in a wild card game.
And I think the difference maker for this team, there's been two recently, and that's Justin Upton. You mentioned the quick hit headliners. He's been clutch and had a horrible year, but clutch. And then J.D. Martinez to come off of an injury and not suffer whatsoever. Really impressive.
So true. So those are my – and also, I'm going to go on this rant on tomorrow's show when we have more time to do so. But Colin Kaepernick, I must say, there were a range of emotions that I felt when I first heard about Cap, sitting out and not deciding to stand up for the national anthem. And I know you addressed it on last week's show, Isaac, but Colin Kaepernick standing up and, really drawing attention, using the national anthem to draw attention to inequality here in the United States of America. I went through a range of emotions when I first heard about the story, and I'll lay out that on tomorrow's show, but I find it very admirable what Cap has done throughout this whole conversation, discussing problems that, especially in recent times, have been just the quintessential headline of inequality that we still have a long way to go. And I think Cap has done a great job at addressing that. So Cap is also one of my my weekend winners as well, Isaac.
Well, and what about college football fans across the entire United States?
Yeah, right.
Because, boy, this last weekend was something special. We saw two of the top five go down week one. Almost three. You saw Auburn this close to pulling off an upset over Clemson. But one player who I am crazy about, didn't know much about him until this weekend, but Greg Ward Jr. of Houston. He really is a Heisman candidate, and he's going to be up there for the long run.
Houston is for real. And hey, yo, what's up with your Tigers? That was,
I don't want to talk about it.
Ah, yeah, man.
I know.
Wisconsin, though, that looks good for the Big Ten. I must say
it does.
That.
And J.J. Watt's brother, he's got a brother on
the
team.
Oh, my goodness, he's unbelievable.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. What a football family.
He's unbelievable. And also, I want to shout out Alabama, a 52-6 win over USC. And Jalen Hurts, the freshie, looks incredible. I don't think there's a debate as to who the starting quarterback will be for the Crimson Tide moving forward. So we'll have plenty more college football talk as the week rolls along here on Current Sports. But again, a big shout-out and thanks to Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, Jay Sarkar, and DeJuan Jones for joining us on today's Current Sports. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.